You're listening to The Takeaway with John Hockenberry and Adora Udoji from WNYC and PRI, Public Radio International, in collaboration with the BBC World Service, The New York Times, and WGBH Radio Boston.
Good morning, everyone. Just in time for the holidays, The Takeaway, of course, is doing a whole week series on debt. Yes, just for you. We're taking your questions about getting out of debt, and we'll have some answers for you on Friday. That's at thetakeaway.org. The entire debt series is on our website, and we've been talking about it all week.
I wouldn't say my relationship with my bank is dysfunctional. I would say it's abusive. Every month, I pay my mortgage, and the value of my house goes down, which means I kind of owe more. You know, I'm just a heartbeat away from bankruptcy. I don't know why I don't just pack it all in and move to the woods somewhere.
No banks in the woods. Tell us your stories of how you would want to improve your banking relationship at 877-8-MY-TAKE or MyTAKE at thetakeaway.org. Part of Debtor Nation here on The Takeaway.
Debtor Nation, we have debts on cars and homes and just about everything else. All of our debt has gone through the roof. 5,000 people a day last month filed for bankruptcy, clearly a sign of many people struggling. We asked today, what's the safety net for ordinary consumers? Harvard Law Professor Elizabeth Warren specializes in consumer bankruptcy and commercial law and is the author of All Your Worth, The Lifetime Money Plan. Professor Warren has also just been named to the Bailout Oversight Board, and she joins us now with her thoughts from Boston. Welcome, Professor.
Thank you.
American consumers, they're clearly in trouble. Where do we start the discussion?
Well, if you're want to have a week long on debt, you couldn't have picked a better topic. Because a big part of this problem is that American consumers are leaving a boom, deeply in debt and with no rise in income. And this is important. Let me just put it in a historical context. What usually happens is as we come out of a boom and go into a recession, debt loads are smaller and income has risen. So in other words, they're a little fatter, so to speak, mm-hmm. economically. They're a little better shape.
There's a little cushion.
That's right, a little cushion. But this time we're hitting the skids as a country, you know, when everything's going into recession, with the families already deeply in debt. And that does not bode well for where we're headed over the next few years.
Let's start with credit cards. 50 million Americans carry credit card balances every month. And I want you to listen to what a caller said to us.
I have to share a credit card story. I looked at my statement. I got a late fee. The payment went in 3 days before it's usually due. I looked at my previous statement. They changed my due date from the 6th to the 1st. I called the credit card company, and they said, we've evaluated your account, and we changed your cycle from 25 days to 20 days. So, yes, they did take off the late fee as a courtesy, but I'm not going to use that card anymore. I guess they could just do that, whatever they want to do, and then we pay all the fees attached.
Professor Warren, what do you make of that?
Well, the credit card companies have now written their agreements so that basically they can do anything they want to you anytime they want. And, many times they don't. There are some good cards out there. But they have structured it so that they can engage in tricks and traps in order to build revenues. And that's exactly what they're doing, and there's a perfect example of it. There are many practices like that. They are simply designed to rip $29 out of somebody's pocket, $49 out of somebody's pocket, drive up their interest rates over and over and over. Billions of dollars here.
Elizabeth, it's a business model question in the sense that there's so much foreclosure or default and fraud built into the cost of doing business for the credit card companies, and they try to recover this by doing these fees and all of these sort of draconian and random charges that they do to customers. It sort of commits the entire industry to this float where it's just going to get higher and higher and higher, when actually the old way of doing this is just adjust the interest rate if the person needs a problem.
That's right. We have switched from a model where basically they lent to people they thought would be able to pay back, and they made it entirely transparent, here's the interest rate, if you like it, take the card, if you don't like it, don't take the card, to what we call a tricks and traps business model, so that they tell you, oh, it's 0%, those are the teaser rates, we give you free things, those are the frequent flyer miles or the cash back, or you should have a warm and fuzzy relationship with us. And what's happened is the credit card agreement itself has gone from about one page in 1980, according to the Wall Street Journal, to more than 30 pages today. And the additional 29 pages were not to help the customer. They were to develop all of these ways to get revenue out of people who roll over their credit cards, and frankly, even to get revenue out of people who believe that they are cash payers. That's the business model now. They are literally, literally making billions of dollars in just fees and charges, and $29 here, and you went over, and you were a day late, and
before we get to some of the solutions that you propose, just quickly address the issue of where's the line between individual discipline and the need to protect consumers?
You know, in my view, we shouldn't make credit cards idiot-proof. That's not the point. The point is not that, you know, the nanny comes in and tucks you in with your credit card. You expect people not to go to the mall and not to run up big charges that they're not going to be able to pay for. And if they do that and it hurts to have to pay it back, shoot, that's how it should be. That's how the game should work. The part I object to is just like the clip you ran. It's the tricking people. It's the trapping people. It's hiding the cost of credit until it's too late and someone gets slammed in the side of the head with this kind of thing.
And is that where your Financial Product Safety Commission idea comes in? You want to tell us about that?
Absolutely. So it's based on this premise. You can't buy a toaster in the United States that has a 1 in 5 chance of exploding. But you can buy a mortgage that has a 1 in 5 chance of costing you your home, or you can buy a credit card that can throw you into financial chaos, even if you use it in the way it's supposed to be used. And so the reason for that difference is we evaluate all physical products for safety. You know, that it's got basic wiring, that cars have brakes, that infant car seats don't collapse. But we don't do that with consumer financial products. We say, in effect, to credit card companies, to mortgage companies, hey, you know, whatever you can get them to sign, however you want to bury the tricks and traps. And I think that's wrong. The reason it has grown up that way is our regulatory structure in Washington, D.C. is based on the people who follow credit cards or mortgages and have the right to regulate them. Their principal job is called the safety and soundness of the banks, which frankly means bank profitability. So you've got the people who are there to make sure that the banks are profitable, and all
right.
The other are going to take care of a little consumer protection.
That's a great idea.
Separate agency on consumer protection.
That's a great
separate
idea.
Agency. We'll have to have you come back and talk more about that. Elizabeth Warren, law professor at Harvard, who specializes in consumer bankruptcy and commercial law. Thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, it's a pleasure. Thank you for having me.
She's also the co-author of All You're Worth, The Lifetime Money Plan.